What's up, guys? Michael James with Beyond the Forbidden. Do you want to receive extra content that's not viewed anywhere else? Support Beyond the Forbidden on Patreon to receive plus content that is only exclusive to members of Beyond the Forbidden. Content like the full 2-hour podcast, bonus shows, full-length video interviews, behind-the-scenes footage with guests, and much more. So what do you have to lose? Go to patreon.com/beyondtheforbidden. That's patreon.com/beyondtheforbidden and become a member of Beyond the Forbidden for just $5 a month. And also check the description for the links.
Coming to you from an undisclosed location, somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere, waiting out the alien apocalypse. He is armed with a machete and a microphone. Join Michael James as he seeks answers to the paranormal, conspiracies, ancient mysteries, and the occult. Are you ready to trip the fuck out? This is Beyond the Forbidden.
All right, welcome to Beyond the Forbidden. Tonight on the show, I got Nathaniel Gillis. Man, I've been following his work for a couple years. You can find him everywhere on YouTube, BitChute, Odyssey. He's all over the video platforms when it comes to interviews and audio podcast only. But man, I want to thank everybody that's been following the Facebook page at 123,000 followers. I don't know where that come from. Just to think a year ago, I only had like 5 or 10, but thank you all very much. And thank you to the Patreons at patreon.com/beyondtheforbidden. Thank you very much. But Nathaniel Gillis, welcome to the show. How the hell you doing, man?
Thank you for having me on. I'm so glad to be with you guys. And it's always good to have an opportunity to talk about this phenomenon.
Oh yeah, 100%. And so I know about you, man. Man, I've been following you for a couple of years. I say a couple. I would say about three, maybe right before the C word, you know. Right before that, maybe something like that. But so I guess to the other ones, everybody else that's listening that aren't familiar with you and your work, I guess give a little background on you. What led to your interest in, you know, your passion for the paranormal and things like that?
Yeah. So my first confrontation with whatever it is we're dealing with, it occurred when I was 8 years old. My parents were looking at buying a new house. And so we were actually touring the home itself when my dad took me by the hand and led me into what would become my room. And he basically told me, me and your mother are going to be talking to the realtor in the kitchen. Just kind of take a look around, figure out where you're going to put everything. And immediately when I entered that room, it was a strange experience because I smelled something. It was a stench, smelled like sulfur or something that was decomposing. And I had no explanation for that. But as I was looking around, I looked in the closets. There was really only one item in the room itself. It was just a bed in the corner. And for some reason, I was led to get on my hands and knees and pull up the blanket to see what's underneath the bed. I'm a kid. I don't know why. I still don't know why I did that. But when I did, I was met face to face with the full-bodied apparition of a little girl. She had long black hair. She had a pale complexion. She had a dress that looked to have been made during the turn of the century. And when we both saw each other, we both kind of recoiled. And she shimmied her little body all the way to the back of the wall to where she's the furthest from me. So we really never figured out who the little girl was. She did not belong in the neighborhood. She didn't belong to the family. Matter of fact, the owners of the house that we're looking at, they were two elderly people, and they never had any children. So what in the world is that? Then when we moved into the house, the being itself evolved, or even mutated, if you will. It was no longer the apparition of a little girl. Now it's a shadow person that I would see at nighttime. And so that was my introduction to this phenomenon, but more or less it inspired me to want to know more about it, you know, to even if it's just questions being asked, I think it's still worth it. But that's how I got here. That's my origin story.
So you're talking about apparition. Maybe you can help me out because I know you've been studying this for a while now. Back in, I would say 98, 99, however old I was, 12 or something like that, 13. And I've only had this one experience. Well, I've seen shadow beings, like shadows just go across the room. I've seen that. But you know those curtains that I guess they're up and down curtains that drape like that, you know, that they go like this instead of. So we're living in an apartment, me and my mother and father and two cats, only child. And so after school I came home and turned the TV on like I always do. I think I was watching, I sit back in the recliner. I think it was like World's Funniest Videos or World's Wildest Police Videos or something like that. And I believe it was later in the year, and you know, it got darker pretty soon. So somehow I fell asleep and I woke up like this, and the blinds are right here, and the street light, I can see it raining and it's dark. The TV's not on. And it's raining and the street light's shining through. So I looked over here towards the TV, like, man, why is it quiet and dark in here? You know, because I left the TV on. But as soon as I looked towards the TV, in front of the TV was like a bearded man in a flannel jacket, red and black, bearded. If I had to guess, between the time I woke up, turned, saw him, the whole thing probably lasted maybe 5 seconds, maybe. Maybe I don't know. You know, it's hard to judge time in that. And then it faded away. And then I heard what was in the kitchen behind me that sounded like the cats were eating. They were, you know, the food dropping in the bowl. That's what it sounded like. So, but I've never seen a ghost, never seen anything like that before then. I didn't know what I was thinking. We kind of lived in a bad side of town. So what I was thinking, somebody broke in. This whole time, I wasn't thinking apparition. I wasn't thinking ghosts. I thought somebody broke in. So then I heard that, and this is all happening really fast, you know, in the kitchen. So I thought somebody was in there, and I was thinking it's either cats, like all this running through my head. I was thinking cats or somebody's in there, man. And then I popped up out of the chair, the recliner. I have the feet up, and I turned the lights on, and I looked. The cats are on the couch. Nobody's in the kitchen. The cats are on the couch, looking at me like I done effing lost my mind. So I'm thinking somebody broke in. So the door's locked. The all the windows are they're closed. Everything's good. Everything's good. And it dawned on me that, man, that had to been a ghost or apparition. Then I was thinking ghost, you know, because it faded away. But it was so dark. It was dark in there. It was only just the lights from the outside, in front of the TV, through the blinds, and it faded away. When I saw it, probably faded like 3 to 5 seconds, I would say. But scared the piss out of me, man.
No doubt, no doubt. My cousin experienced something very similar to that. She had her and her husband had moved into a new apartment, and it was about 3 or 4 in the morning when my dad gets a phone call. My dad's kind of the patriarch of the family now that my grandfather's dead. So there she's calling my dad's phone, blowing him up. My dad's like, "What's going on? You know, it's like 4 in the morning, you know something's really bad. Someone died. What's going on?" And sure enough, she said she woke up to go to the bathroom, and when she did, there was a man just like what you're he didn't have a jacket on, but he did have
If
a
I remember
shirt.
correctly, it was a bearded man, and it looked kind of like a flannel jacket, but it all looked kind of opaquish. I couldn't see exactly what color eyes, but I could see bearded man, flannel jacket, you know. But it was like almost like looking through a screen door, kind of, or
Yeah,
like, or
almost
looking,
pixelated in a sense.
yes, or like through fog or something like that, you know. So
It's very common.
What is this? Like, how do these apparitions, full body, this was a full body apparition. How does this happen? And how come I haven't had it since then? I've seen shadow. I've had strange things, but not a like an apparition, you know.
Nothing like that. Thank goodness, man. Thank goodness. It's hard to say, you know. There are hauntings where it's actually that entity that's haunting the building, and it will manifest in that pattern and that image over and over and over again. Sometimes it's the phenomenon,
Someone did die in
almost as
that
an
building
infant.
also. My mother told me.
It's very possible it's a ghost.
We didn't find out until after we moved that place that she found out that somebody died there. It was a drug dealer, so.
Hey man, you know it might have been him. Who knows? That's really where we're at the field. You know, it depends on like, okay, if that entity manifests again and he tries to touch you or tries to do something, or you know, if it's speaking your name out in the middle of the dark, that's when the situation has evolved to where it's a lot more sinister, and you're going to be dealing with an entity that most likely doesn't want you to be there. But in apparitional theory, I think it goes, you know, for instance, okay, what are we dealing with? Is there a constitution? Is there a tangibility to apparitions? That's what I'm really interested in, right? Because I've witnessed them myself in my cases, and you know, some of them have been half an apparition, the others have been full bodied. Some of them you could see right through others. It would just be like you're talking to a buddy, right? He's there, it's 4D, and you're thinking, okay, this guy's real. You know, even with the Hat Man, I had one of my good friends growing up. He had an experience with the Hat Man at nighttime where he was paralyzed in fear, and he looks in the corner, and in the corner of the room there stood the Hat Man, and all the doors were locked. And what struck him the most odd was that the next morning his mother went into the garage, and there were muddy footprints, boot prints
Wow.
in the garage itself. But
Wow.
the door was never ajar. The door was never opened. It was locked. So this gets even deeper than, okay, what is it, right? It's almost like it had the ability to walk through a wall, but it also manifested to the touch, to where it's displacing weight on the concrete. Weird. Strange.
That's almost like a close encounters of the Which one's the physical trace? I forgot which one it is.
Yeah, it's like
Is
the
it four?
fourth kind,
Yeah, I guess so.
third or
I
fourth.
yeah,
Yeah.
it's one of them. But so I it's leaving trace amount or leaving their traces behind. That's crazy, man.
And I wish to God, now this is obviously impossible to do, but I wish to God they would have, I don't know, collected a sample to where we could have sent it off to like a university lab or something and gained some insight what we're dealing with. But you know, there are times when
The
like
Smithsonian
when
would have
I
covered it up, though.
man, they'd have stolen it, and if it was a big find, they'd probably take credit for it after they stole it. I've seen that stuff happen, man. I hate it. But
Know,
you
right?
know, yeah, like you know, like what I encountered growing up was an entity that did demonstrate evolution to it. You know what I mean? It wasn't just an apparition. Once I moved into the house, then it was waking up in the middle of the night to hearing a full-blown conversation occur above my head. I couldn't understand what they were saying, but I could hear two men going back and forth. And then it's so weird. Thankfully, I don't deal with the PTSD like I used to in the past about this. But then the nightmares started, and the nightmares were repetitive. It was like a loop. And it always consisted of a boy, I don't know, a boy, maybe 16-year-old boy. Him and his brother were sitting on a picnic table at a park. It's all in black and white. And I'm walking towards them. The one on the right had a needle in his arm, which I had no reference to drug addiction as an 8-year-old kid, right? I was pretty pure as the driven snow, as they say. So he had a needle in his arm, and at that point, I'm thinking, what the heck is he doing? Why is he giving himself a shot? That's weird. Anyways, the guy on the left, his buddy, turned around. He made eye contact with me. He smiled and then put a 357 Magnum in his mouth to pull the trigger. I would then wake up
Damn.
to a just profound heaviness in my room. I mean, it was incredible, paralyzing terror. And you know, the older I became, the more I realized that that was not a ghost. That was a malevolent entity that had tapped into my innocence as a child and was manifesting to me according to what I would at first, according to what I would accept, like a little girl. You know, all my cousins are girls, so at the time, you know, I was playing with my cousins. I thought it's gonna be a new friend or something. I don't know. I didn't know. But I think that does point to the fact that this phenomenon is deeply deceptive, and it can play roles. And that's the scariest part about it, right? Even with what we're learning in the abduction phenomenon, we're learning it through abductees, is this phenomenon propagandizing us, there we go, to believe stuff that it just, it's not real, right? It's like you're being hoodwinked. I'm going to show you this, but what I'm doing is over here. That's what we're in. That's what we're looking at in the field, you know. And I think that's it's going to be a question I don't think we'll be able to answer for a long time.
Do you think that the reason for like me and so many others, why, yes, I've had a strange things, but I would call that apparition there when I back in 98, 99, I don't know, 12, 13 years old. Do you think that ever since then, but I call that apparition like that's the cream on top, man. Like, you know what I mean? Out of all of my crazy experiences that I've had some crazy ones, like I told you, shadow beings, fear and anxiety. I'll touch on that in a minute. Crazy. But do you think that I shut something off in my head? Like something just shut off to where I can't. I'm not saying I want to see another apparition, but why haven't I seen another one? Is it because when you're young, you're more pure, and
I believe so.
we're not infested with all these GMOs, chemicals, chemtrails, and our body's just more pure. Like, or did I just shut off something subconsciously?
It could be either one. It could be both. I know that the pathology of these beings, even in the abduction phenomenon with women, they'll start out as early as 12 when they hit puberty. Right. And likewise with the paranormal field, I was 8 years old, man, and it was manifesting to me all of the time. So I think it's kind of a mixture of us being very pure, but also us being easily manipulated. Right. It could manipulate me very easily because I'm just a kid. I'm trusting. I'm vulnerable. I'm just living life. And there it is, luring me. It's not unlike what the others do with children on abductions, where the young person would wake up in the middle of the night and their mother would be calling to them from the living room.
That's crazy, man. Dude,
Yeah, they'll walk
I,
out. Like, did
yeah.
you experience that?
Oh,
Yeah.
dude, even now, like my mother, only child, Michael. And I'll wake up out of bed like, what the f I try not to cuss the first hour. The second hour, do whatever you want to, man. But it's crazy. Like, what is that? Like, I know some things are speculation, but with your years of research, man, like your speculation is better than most people's like theories and things like that. Well, what's going on here, man?
I think it's bait. It's
Gosh.
bait. It's wanting to interact with. You see a lot of people. I'm not again, anybody that has a cursory knowledge of my work and my research, I don't believe for a second these beings do not present a threat to us. I mean, even if they don't want to invade us, it doesn't matter. If they are the superior species, then we have to perceive them as such. But if you look at it, like even in the book Beyond UFOs, there's case after case after case where a young person wakes up in the middle of the night, and like yourself, here's the mother or the father, whatever, calling their name.
Never
And
heard the
the
father,
one
just heard the
case,
mother, though.
it's very interesting. What one case study I read, there's a 12-year-old girl or maybe even younger. She's thinking, okay, my mom's calling me. What's going on? It's in the witching hour. Everybody's asleep. I know she's got to work tomorrow. I know that. Even my mom, what's going on? She walked into the hallway, and both of her parents were pretty much cuddled in the bathroom, and they were in a daze. They were like robots. And she said what was strange was that when she kept hearing her mother call her name, just like her mother's voice to a T, but the mouth of her mother wasn't even moving. And so that's when she realized that the entity that was in the shadows was the one calling her. So
Wow.
this is like a horror movie, but yeah, it's bait. It's bait. It's just like in the haunting in Connecticut. Carmen Snedeker, her son, was being called out to by the entity in the basement, calling him by name, come down here. So it's not so while they will manifest auditory names and stuff to us to get us involved, they'll also manifest just to manifest to us to get us involved. They won't even have to say a word, right? We're just here. Next thing you know, curiosity is conjured, and sometimes it's even okay, I want to talk to you, I want to converse with you. you know, and it's someone that appear to some as something that's trustworthy until I get what I want from you. But it just goes to the point that the phenomenon itself is extremely deceptive. It can hack our consciousness. It can pull memories out of our mind and play the role. I had a case study in India where a lady was working with a lady who the phenomenon was manifesting to her in the image of every lover she's ever had. It was working her like a safe, you know, looking for consent or some form of it. How can I, you know? And so what happens, and I put this in my book, The Skin That Crawls, is what's called a temptation of belief. I'm appearing to you as a former lover, but do you believe I am that former lover? Yes, I do. Okay, then I'm going to fulfill that role to consensual intercourse.
Yeah.
That's the UFO abduction phenomenon. In many cases, it's not just, okay, it's a hybrid being approaching us. No, they'll appear as dead people, dead relatives, dead friends. And so it's sickening. Once you get to the data sample of what some of the darker cases, it's irrefutable and it's quite disturbing.
Man. And I do want to touch on, you know, UFOs and extraterrestrials, but not yet. And then also, don't answer it yet, but are certain elites of the world, are they in contact? But let's save that a little bit down the conversation. But so I live in the Bible Belt. Well, you mind me asking you on air, where are you from? What state?
Yeah. I'm from Ohio.
Okay. I live in Louisiana. And so born Pentecostal.
What?
Yes.
What organization? You Oneness or Trinity?
We were the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
All right. All right. Interesting. I grew up in Oneness.
So, I would say the reason why I am who I am today is because of my past. It's because of seeing what I've seen and questioning things. And I'm going to hit the fear and trauma. I had to deprogram myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
I had to deprogram myself. And man, I will wake up every day just knowing I'm going to hell. You know what I mean? Why live? I mean that. Nathaniel, I mean that. Like, why live? We're all going to hell. We're all doomed. I'm talking about where women cannot wear pants. They couldn't wear jewelry, makeup, or anything.
Yep.
Hair in a bun, you know. Yep. I've seen when it comes to speaking in tongues, I never did it. I was one of the ones that was a sinner and, you know,
independent, you know, thinker you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was one after my grandmother passed, I was the one in the back of the pews, you know. But anyways, one revival night, a guy that was, he's probably 300 pounds, maybe, you know, the whole church is like speaking in tongues. Got one way back here. It's like a chain reaction. And I'm seeing this focus on this bigger guy, you know, and then he does a freaking front, speaking in tongues, he does a front flip over the pew, lands on his feet. What in the hell is going on here, man?
I've seen some stuff too. I grew up in Oneness Pentecostalism, and there's manifestation there. I can't tell you how or why, but there's something working. It's more than just, okay, I'm psyching myself out. Because like you suggested here, there are certain laws of physics that are seemingly suspended at times.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I feel like, no. How do they know that it is actually the Holy Spirit? Because
good point.
I would say the dark side can be very enticing and make you think that they are Apollo Gold, you know, that they are benevolent instead of malevolent, and they can make you feel, you know, certain ways.
Right. You ever heard of a guy named Lee Stone King?
Who's that?
Lee Stone King.
Sounds familiar. Explain a little bit.
Okay. He's kind of a faith healer and that kind of thing in the movement.
Maybe that's where I've heard it, maybe. Yeah, because I've come across a lot of people.
Very famous. But he has a teaching, which is just, it's abomination. He talks about holy magic here, where, you know, if a woman doesn't cut her hair, she's more powerful. And talks about how that it's because of the angels that she could work with angels, right?
I'm sorry, Nathaniel. I'm sorry. Yeah. How do you spell his name? Well, while you explain.
It's L-E-E and then Stone and King, just like it sounds.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
You'll probably recognize.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, so, go ahead, man.
Met this guy, and this is, I'm telling you, man, this is where it gets really, really, really scary, because he has a teaching that, you know, a woman that has uncut. Oh, yeah, he's pretty creepy, but he comes out and he's like, you know, he preached a message called Holy Magic Hair, and he teaches that when a woman has uncut hair, that she has more power over the angels. And so they have manifestations in that service, you know, what they call the gifts of the spirit. And so prophecy would come forth and healings, miracles. It's not until you actually get to that text that says that the uncut hair is literally designed to stop Nephilim from taking them. It's a protection. But one of the, now we're asking the same questions you are, where it's like, what if the doctrine's wrong? And something else, right, is stepping in to fulfill that role. But I grew up in that, and I've seen a lot of stuff. I've heard a lot of stuff. And they're like the sect that I was a part of, man, they would, there was a guy named Jonathan Zuber, and he was a missionary kid. He was a missionary kid from Africa. So he's originally from like Cayman, Arkansas, moved to Africa with his family. But he would go out and fast for 30 days or something, come back and be very used, as they said. But I don't really know what's going on. You know, I don't. All I do know is that the way they classify angels is no different than the paranormal field or ufology. You know, one guy was praying for an angel to visit him, and a ball of light flew into his church, and he claimed that was an angel. Well, what that could be an orb. I mean, right? It is an orb. What's in the orb, right? Because we have Bledsoe saying that there are beings that are stepping out of orbs, and they're aliens. We have Dr. Barry Fitz... Dr. Barry Taft saying, Dr. Barry Taft, he's saying that in the San Pedro haunting, when he witnessed an orb, the orb manifested the apparition. All three of them are orbs or balls of light, right? And all of them are perceived differently. One's an ET from Bledsoe. The other is a demon or some ghost with Dr. Barry Taft. The third one is just, well, it's got to be God or an angel. So, you know, what's really going on here? The manifestations are the same, but our interpretations are different, which I think that's ignorance, and that the phenomenon itself has manipulated that. It's almost monetized it in the field, where I'll play each and every one of those roles as long as you don't see who and what I really am. But so I grew up in it too. It's so funny. It's rare that I meet somebody in the field that grew up in that same sect of religion.
Man, I was, like I said, I had to deprogram myself. Like it took a long time to deprogram myself. And I would say not all churches, because the church my wife goes to now, I go to every now and then when I got married in a Baptist church. They don't speak in tongues, and so, but with the church I grew up in, I would say most of hardcore fire and brimstone Pentecostals, when they have experiences like synchronicities, or they see things, or they speak in tongues, it has to be a work of God.
Right.
To me, that sounds like old tales, that how they used to depict things back in the day, but it could be something else. You know what I mean? It's like, my thing is, I don't want to be tricked. And I'm glad I never really spoke in tongues, because man, I don't know. You know what I mean? If there is a supreme creator out there and a God that created all of this, which I like to believe there is, I don't believe I need to speak in tongues to get closer to. I can go walk out in nature, man. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I believe that too.
Like, and something else I was going to tell you. So, I don't want to get onto this too much, but do you think that religion, especially Christianity, was it was taken from old text to, because history is written by the victors, right? You know,
right.
And who were the ones that kind of put all the books in the Bible together and all that? Wasn't it mm-hmm. Rome? Or
yeah, well, what we're dealing with, again, it's a lot of synchronicity too, right? Or secretism. Yeah, and that's what I think you're seeing. I see it too, you know, where like Rome wanted to consolidate power. Constantine also wanted to consolidate power. So what he did is he just took Christianity, added a few mixtures of, you know, Judaism in it, and then said, all right, if you don't want to obey me, I'm going to light you like a candle, and you're going to burn in my courtyard just so I can see the food I'm eating. It's evil. Much of the origins of it is, but I do think that there are good things about it, you know, things that I took to heart growing up. But see, yeah. When I was growing up, man, my parents, their second child was born with a deformity, a handicap. And when my mom had him, his name was Elisha, the pastor's wife told my mother, don't bring it to church.
Wow.
It'll look bad on us. So that is sick. But that's how sick some of these people are, where they think that because they have manifestation, everything's great, everything's golden. And I think I've carried that on over into the field, right? Just because I have manifestation as an experiencer doesn't mean much at all, right? It's like,
yeah,
it's always been there, right? But if we use that to validate our, what we're seeing now in the field is doctrines, then it's no different than a religion.
Yeah.
Because now it's, I mean, even in antiquity, it started out with an angel, even Muhammad, an angel. Next thing you know, doctrine is born, and now it's a religion. But it took me about 15, 20 years to get out of that funk, man, right? Because I lost all of my friends when I left it, all of them. They wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't call me. No more lunches, no more hangouts, no more sleepovers as a kid. Even my old girlfriend from back in the day got a phone call from my old pastor. You know, I just want to let you know, Nathaniel Gillis, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, dude, I'm a freaking kid.
He's going to hell.
Yeah, like, why are you trying to ruin my life, man? It's so weird. Anyways, but yeah, I'll tell you what, though, more than anything else, because even though I was experiencing what I was experiencing in the house, I was also going to church trying to get answers to what I was witnessing. And doing that is basically social suicide, right? Because it's like, oh my God, I'm going to be alienated. Either I'm crazy, I'm lying, or both. And I'm demon possessed or something stupid,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it was pretty rough. It was either stay silent about it completely, or you're weird. We don't believe you.
I got you, man. Well, I don't talk like this out to peep my friends. You know what I mean? I guess
right.
One of many, many reasons why I created this show, so I can talk to like-minded people, you know, right. Because like what we're talking about, man, I would not be talking. I live in the Bible Belt, man. And it's still pretty strong.
Right.
It's still strong. And so I lost train of thought where I was wanting to go. Oh, maybe you can help me think of when I was a kid or a baby, when I was a newborn infant, everybody told me how the church lit up on fire because I was anointed to God. The preacher held me like that, and they all spoke in tongues. And it was one of the most powerful moments they've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they call that. I forgot.
It's the baby dedication.
Maybe something dedicating the baby to God. Something like that. And the whole church, I was like probably 4 weeks old, less or a couple weeks old. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The whole church just lit up on fire. And then, of course, they put the crocodile on my forehead. You know,
dude, they put crocodile on you.
You know the oil that they do.
Yeah, I didn't know it was crocodile oil. Because I know it's crocodile. South, man. Wow,
it's crocodile.
That's awesome.
It's crocodile.
That's awesome.
And
wow.
And I got that from the download from the preacher one. When I started kind of asking questions, you know, I was the center in church and I asked the pastor, is that just regular oil? He said, no, it's crocodile oil.
It's crocodile.
And he said, don't tell anybody that. Cause they may think it's, you know, like, ugh, you know? So And so,
I think that's awesome, dude.
So the more I learn, does that go back to Enki back in the Sumerian times? Back, like, Enki's representation of the snake, like, well, the reptilian, right. Like, where does it, you know what I mean? Some weird things going on.
Yeah, that is pretty funky. Because I don't see any doctor in the Bible that used crocodile. It was usually a mixture of like frankincense and myrrh or something that.
I forgot the name that they actually used though.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know if it's 100%. I'm not sure. Or I forgot the name they actually used for that. But let me see, go to my notes here. No, I don't have it wrote down at all. So I guess back to the, I guess move forward a little bit. So are demons like, are they actually here? Are they actually here in the third dimension? Like this 3D reality we live in, this, whatever you want to call it, simulation or whatever, or are they actually coming here from other dimension, some other type of dimensional plane, you know, are they breaking through, you know?
Absolutely, 100%. And I tell people they're present with but absent from. They're everywhere and nowhere. They look like everybody and nobody, right? When you get down to it, it does seem like they're operating outside of time and space. Even if you get to parapsychology, this is specifically speaking of Steve Merritt and Barry Fitzgerald, where they would set up their cameras and they put a timer on it and they would leave it. They'd leave the camera, go get lunch or something. And next thing you know, right before that timer went off, an entity would move over and show its face just so it could be seen, and then click. So they have precognition. They know things. It does seem like they're out of time and space because they know who's going to die, when they're going to die. Sometimes they've caused deaths. But you can't know that unless you're outside of time and space, at least according to my research, my opinion, what I've seen. So they have precognition, you know, they access to the dead, access to the memories of the dead, access to our memory. So whatever and whoever they are, they're playing by different rules. That's what I learned when I first got into demonology was, hey, you know, I grew up being taught these can only do certain things. They can only know certain things, and that's not the case. And so once I realized that they're playing by different rules, I realized it's because they're playing a different game. So now we have to realize, think about what game are they really playing here? You know what I mean? It cannot just be them talking to us at EVPs, or occasionally we get a picture of an apparition. What are they really doing around here? You know what I mean? Even with Skinwalker Ranch, with the hauntology that's occurring there, you know, the disembodied voices. It's not just a voice. It's telling them, get out of here, go, leave. So they're doing something, right? Whatever they're doing, it's occurring to people. It's manifesting to others. But I think that we are still groping in the darkness as to what they're really doing and what they're really about.
And I don't mean to break up the flow, but I looked it up. And when I found this information several years ago, maybe close to 10 years ago, maybe it dawned on me. I'm like, wow, but anyways, this is off the medium.com on anointment, Christ and crocodiles. Quote, I'm not sure who wrote this. Charles, well, he's quoting somebody. I'm not sure who. But Christ comes from Christos, meaning anointed one. In the Greek, Christos was used to translate the Hebrew Messiah, meaning anointed one, a title allegedly adopted from the tradition of anointing the Egyptian pharaoh during coronation with oil drawn from the fat of Mesa, the sacred crocodile. In coffins of Egyptian mummies, the word Christ, or KRST, I guess that's Christ, I'm not sure, KRST, is found as a blessing and anointing from Horus and Osiris. Hence the word Christos is thought as a loaned. Christ denoted the process preparation of the mummy by embalming, purifying, and anointing, and can mean anointed, buried, or covered in oil.
That's interesting.
So the fat of a crocodile. Yeah. And I uncovered that with some of the ancient stuff that I've been researching, you know, several years ago with like Zechariah Sitchin and the or the Anunnaki reptilians, and you know, all that stuff. That's when that I kind of came across this, and I forgot that Mesa was the sacred crocodile. I believe that's what I read too, and this is what I pulled up also. But yeah, it's crazy, man.
That's interesting. I'll look into that.
But and it's just crazy. We have crocodiles everywhere, you know, alligators everywhere here in the
South.
Yeah,
that's what I thought it was, man. I've seen some people do stuff with oil. There was one church service I went to where the piano player, you have to understand what we're talking, where me and you are coming from. I'm talking to people that are going to watch this show. Like, if you've never been to a church service, you won't get it. But you know how there's a flow to the song service, right? They're playing a song, this keyboard is, if the keyboard stops playing, you know, the whole thing's going to crash and burn, because that's a big portion. Well, this lady stopped playing the keyboard in the middle of the song, goes up to the pulpit, grabs a bottle of the anointing oil, and chugs it. I promise you, I was laughing so hard I was crying.
Wow.
I don't know if she thought it was water or what. Maybe she got thirsty. But, you know, anyways, yeah. So I'll look into that. But it's so interesting to meet people in the field that have similar upbringings.
Yeah, man. And it's you're one of the few that I have actually, some of the things I've talked about in this interview, this is the first time, I believe, I've interviewed several hundred people, you know, since 2009 on and off. I've had a couple different shows, but so I didn't mean to get this, but while you was talking about are demons actually from this 3D dimension or from other dimensional plane, I was looking that up and I was like, it dawned on me, Mesa, the sacred crocodile, it could mean other things, but it's similar to that. So back in, I don't know, June, July, something around there, I made a meme on and I posted it on Twitter, and it was of George Soros. It was of what's the council foreign relations, Klaus Schwab. Oh, yeah. Council foreign relations. So, and it's nothing. It literally is, you would think it's nothing. I'm trying to find it here, and I'll try to pop it up on the screen, but here it is right here. I created this. Let me see. I don't know if you can see it with a reflection.
No, I mean, I can see the picture, but I can't read the words. It's okay.
It just says it's him painted as a clown. Like his face looks like a clown. So I just copy and pasted, and I kind of did some touch up and stuff. And I got they live, you know, slogan, obey, you know?
Yeah.
And I wish I could freaking,
okay. Well, like, not for me. Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Okay. You can kind of see the clown, you know, the white and the red, like the Joker face.
On the edges, I can.
Yeah. So when I was in the middle of creating that, and my Facebook page manager, Peter, he's from the UK, I messaged him, dude. I said, man, I'm having huge anxiety. I'm having huge anxiety. And I was like, do I need to post this? Like, I was in fear. Something, man. Like, so I don't know if I was being attacked or what. Like I told you a while ago, I've had strange things that's happened. And I don't suffer. I guess anxiety when I'm in the middle section in a packed movie theater, or I'm in a long line at Walmart. You got crying babies everywhere and people coughing. You know,
I get that too.
Like, but I'm not just a person that's just going to have anxiety, panic attack out of nowhere. You know, so could, I guess, I wrote this down. And I mean, I was so close to not posting that, man. I had to think about it. It was crazy. So could Klaus Schwab and other elites in the world partake in certain rituals that have cast spells into the world that somehow have demonic type attacks when it comes to people that shed negative light on them? Like, could they have worker bees, like entities that it's not that they, oh, Michael from Louisiana is about to post this. And so me send my demonic army to go attack them, you know? So no, I don't think it's like that. Maybe they're in tune, or maybe they've done these rituals to where they had that, like this freaking demonic army that attacks certain individuals, or I don't know. I feel like I was being attacked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that could be technology or a spiritual attack. Like Malachi Martin, one of the great exorcists from the Vatican, he left the Vatican and he started being an exorcist outside of this more secular venue. But he was doing radio shows with Art Bell, and in them he said, look, he goes, I know for a fact there are Satanists in the Jesuit priesthood. He said, I've been warned not to talk about it, right? It's a power structure. And he said, you know, I fear for my life, stuff like that. And so one night he was in his study getting a book, and he was on a stepping stool when a shadow figure ran by him and kicked the stepping stool out from underneath him. He slammed his temple on the corner of a table, went into a coma, and died. So, yeah, especially with important people, even if it's not some, you know, bulletproof vested person, you know, even if it's not a physical army, there are some negative influence present, and they will work things behind the scenes, even if it's just to silence people. I know in the field, there are negative experiences with, you know, abductees that they're being silenced too. Not just, okay, I'm feeling anxiety, but we're not even going to entertain what you have to say. I've talked to them, and I have other researchers in the field that are friends of mine that have been on panels where this goes back. It may not be Schwab or the Vatican, but there is a power structure that these beings are manipulating that will silence one and then raise another. And it's according to what they want to occur. You know, I'll paint one person as crazy, I'll paint the other one as a prophet. And it's manipulative to a magnitude, I think, that we're still trying to fully understand.
And I don't want to talk about ETs and all that just yet, but it kind of relates to what I was going to tell you. And like, I interviewed Jason Quitt. You know Jason Quitt?
I haven't heard of him, no.
But interviewed him a couple years ago, and we're talking about some pretty dark things, you know, and talking about interdimensional entities and things like that coming through portals and stuff. And 2 days after that interview, man, I got the flu. What they said was the flu. It was in January of 2020. It could have been the C word, you know, but they didn't have test for it yet. You know,
right.
You know, it could have been, but I've never been that sick in my life. I had to sit on a 5 gallon bucket in the shower.
Yeah.
I had to sit on a 5 gallon bucket in the shower. I couldn't stand. And I'm pretty physically fit somewhat, you know, it's 6 years military and I still try to stay somewhat active, you know? So could I have been, I had myself open, or I was open for some type of attack, because man, after that interview, I was drained, man. I was drained, you know.
I've experienced that before, and it wasn't the C word, so I had that too. But what I experienced was way different. You'll have that from time to time, you know, like when you're doing shows off and on, like maybe 2 or 3 shows a week.
Yeah,
you'll get to a point where you're tapping into something, and when you make eye contact with it, it will make eye contact with you, and it will make itself known. So I've had that. I've received phone calls being threatened in the middle of the night. I had two people who were working with their guides that told me in two separate emails, two different people, that their guides said they'll be waiting for me when I die.
Wow.
So, damn. Yeah, once you get like really deep into this field, there are some shows where afterwards it's sticky, man. I got to go take a hot shower and just kind of get my mind off of it. You know, but the phenomenon's weird. The victimology strange. They do what they want when they want to who they want to. So It could have been just me or you, you know, we just tapped into something that they really didn't appreciate.
What's up, guys? Michael James with Beyond the Forbidden. Do you want to receive extra content that's not viewed anywhere else? Support Beyond the Forbidden on Patreon to receive plus content that is only exclusive to members of Beyond the Forbidden. Content like the full 2-hour podcast, bonus shows, full-length video interviews, behind-the-scenes footage with guests, and much more. So what do you have to lose? Go to patreon.com/beyondtheforbidden. That's patreon.com/beyondtheforbidden and become a member of Beyond the Forbidden for just $5 a month. And also check the description for the links.